Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews. We're like a book club for people hate reading. This month's theme is random, so Rob decided to pick Das Boot.
About as random as you can get.
And he brings you movie news at the end of the program. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, Ryan Preston.
And the old guys here.
So, who has this week's description of the movie?
I got it. It's Das Boot 1981 by Wolfgang Petersen. The claustrophobic world of a World War II German U-boat, boredom, filth, and sheer terror. That was a semicolon, by the way.
And that's, you know what? That's about as good a...
Yeah,
a description that IMDb has ever come up with. So congratulations, boys.
I have to ask, which versions were you guys able to find? Because unfortunately,
I could not find the one that wasn't 3 hours long.
Yep.
That would be crazy.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, we couldn't either.
I tried to rent the theatrical cut. Turned out to be the director's cut.
Wait a minute, you guys got the one that was only 3 hours? I got the one that was 3.5.
No, it was 3.5. No, you're right. It was three. Ours was 3.5 too.
It was long enough to make me go, damn it.
John wanted to sign up for the Navy and become a submariner.
You know, I'm 6'5". Thankfully, I kind of maximized the height requirement.
I actually want to start off this one. You know, for me, I kept rooting for them to sink. Was I the only one there?
No.
Well, you know, I was trying to figure out, was that boat, that must have been a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday boat.
Yeah.
Right? Couldn't have been made on a Monday, couldn't have been made on a Friday, because it would have sunk.
Yeah. I kept sitting there thinking, you know, like, die you German scum. I did not forget that these were Nazis.
No.
Well, I figured it's kind of like watching...
Brian's laughing.
I figured it's kind of like watching bull riding. I'm always voting for the bull, so it was totally like, sink him, sink him.
No. And the one thing that really bothered me, now, I don't know much about some of the initiation rites in the American Navy. I knew about some of them, but they got discontinued because they would get made public. But what type of molestation do they have to do to each other for them to, like, do that to the captain? I mean, they got to have balls to molest the captain.
What did they do? I don't remember that.
I don't know. The guy walked up and he's like, your troops molested me.
Was that though at the beginning where they were peeing on the car or something like that?
I don't know.
They were just incredibly drunk and didn't realize they were doing it too.
I would have been hammered too if I got forced to be on a submarine.
Well, look at this. Out of three people here, only one of us would be back after what a tour on a U-boat.
Wait, what?
Two out of every three sailors did not come back.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. Yeah.
That is true. And that's...
Think about that.
That's something to be said for, because, I mean, you are possibly, more than likely, not going to come back. You're going to die either of just some random thing in there. I mean, I noticed... I did enjoy the fact that they had a plentiful supply of citrus.
Yeah.
Well, plentiful.
At least in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite scenes when all these guys were squeezing lemonade and the guy put that milk or whatever that was
in that
milk, and you saw everybody's face go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and curdled.
He drank it.
But
I saw that one guy, he's like carving them up and then starts eating the rind just to use every part of it, which is something that you would have to do.
And I have to say, I've always loved the captain. It's Jurgen, something. He was this
Jurgen
because he was also Marine Commander.
Johann.
He was in David Lynch's Dune. I've always loved him.
He's been in a lot of movies. Yeah.
Well, he was what?
He was the bad guy in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yes,
there you go.
He was.
Oh, he was.
Yeah. No, he's a good actor. You know, if you just put yourself in their place, I picked this movie because I thought it represented what being in a submarine during World War II was really all about.
It did a damn good
job of doing that. Am I going to rate this movie really high? No. But I got to tell you, it does bring home the fact that these idiots go into this tube and stick themselves out in the big old ocean and did as much damage as they did. I mean, don't forget, they destroyed the majority of the transport ships going over to England.
To kind of jump back in the beginning, I love the Mel Brooks-esque scene in the beginning when everybody was partying.
Excuse me.
You know? When it had that, where there's pouring water on that that dancer, and
because
it totally reminded me of that Mel Brooks movie, and my favorite part about that was that drunk guy with a gun. That dude was a hell of a shot, being as hammered as he was.
Yeah,
he was the best drunk shot
ever. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. That's true. I never thought of being in a submarine would be my kind of thing anyway. And I think you have to be a very special person.
And fear of not drowning.
Exactly. And these boats were by no means guaranteed to,
not sink.
Yeah. A couple hundred feet and boom, you were, crushed like a can.
At the beginning, kind of testing the limits.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, as you, the deeper you go, you're dealing with the weight and the pull of the earth and the water and everything, and it's just pressure, it's something that I would not want to do.
Not my thing.
I'd be way too in my head about everything. I would just be thinking, doing the math of how much cubic inch of pressure.
Are we going to sink now? I'd be right with you, Ryan.
I love I wonder if the movie Down Periscope borrowed the scene from when that bolt popped off and it started bouncing all over the place. Because that comedy movie, Down Periscope, with the guy who...
They probably did. It was probably a little thing, a little homage to them.
Because that
like Denzel Washington, but he brings up a Kelsey Grammer movie.
Down Periscope was actually pretty funny.
I liked that movie.
Was that the pink submarine?
What movie was that? I don't think that was pink.
They borrowed the submarine that's in San Francisco.
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
But that's another thing, is the BART. Part of the BART goes under the bay.
Yeah, submarines go over the cars going under.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's something to get your head around, too.
I'll tell you what, I was in San Francisco off of Pier 39 somewhere and actually saw a submarine heading out. That's kind of an eerie feeling because our submarines are like no joke type submarines.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're nuclear submarines. They're not made for...
No, they're not no jokes, man.
How long was it actually... Did they say the time period that they were out for?
Mm-mm. They didn't say how long they were.
Because my two question was, they apparently never ran out of light bulbs, so where do they put them? And the last day they were out, what were they eating? Because all the food was hanging on the side of the walls.
Oh, dude, there wasn't one thing in that entire boat that didn't get just ass-ended 100 times. Yeah. How did they put everything back together that quickly?
Right?
It's the German machine.
And, it was all flooded, so, half of the submarine was full of salt water. So.
Yeah, that was another thing that I was kind of curious about is, all that water that comes down every time they go up and down that little tube.
Yeah.
Where did they put it?
Yeah, I... good question.
Yeah, I don't know if that just goes into grates and then into the water tubes or something.
Well, there's tanks. They flood a tank and they use compressed air to blow the water out.
But I did hear about them saying that because they did mention when they were flooding something about that.
Well, they still do that today. Well, that's still the basic design of a submarine.
And they also said, as far as the water that was inside, that they were shifting them towards sump pumps where they would. I'm assuming they'd pump it. They'd pump it outside
Under the conning tower was a grate that went down into, like Jonathan said, into a holding tank that had a pump in it, and that pump would pump the water out.
Okay. But anyway, for me, this movie was just 3 hours too long. I don't want to give it three cheers, Zig Heil, whatever they said, Did you notice that? Let's give him three cheers, Zig Heil.
Did you see them not return Zig Heil?
Well, that was...
I did.
I was going to say, that was the one scene in this movie to me that really struck a nerve that I remember the most is when they had that party officer come in, and he was talking about Hitler and praising Hitler, and you see the captain just kind of go off about him. That was the one to me that was the most foretelling.
And towards the end, he obviously had a total different point of view.
Yeah.
You saw that.
I think you go to war.
Yeah. I mean, I was there to make sure that you follow Hitler's orders. Right. Well, now I'm just worried about saving my own ass.
As far as I know, Hitler only fired one shot in the whole entire war.
Into his mouth.
That's it.
That's as far That's as it. I know.
That's the one shot he fired.
Rob was staring at me really perplexed for a long time there.
Really? I got it right off the bat. I do have another question. Why would you have hanging lamps in a submarine?
Well, that's the only thing I could think of, and I'm thinking... Okay, I guess that's funny. That's what I was trying to figure out. Do we laugh at this or do we not laugh at this?
We laugh
it's
at
Hitler. So it's Nazis.
It's Hitler. You gotta laugh.
You can pretty right. much make a joke about Hitler dying, and you gotta laugh.
It's true.
I am curious though on what the actual miniseries was like, because this director's cut was at least an hour too long.
An hour?
James on this one, it was
close.
3 hours too long.
All right, here's the answer.
I even think Kevin Costner would have been, an hour was perfect.
Really?
Because this...
That's what she said.
So that's what that means?
So I'm trying to think of about this movie. There wasn't a whole lot of plot besides these people just surviving and bitching about orders.
You hit it right on the head. It was just about these men going out and surviving and following orders that they were given to. You notice most of them weren't in uniforms. You know, they were casually
like
closed.
Of the guys down in the engine room the missile room.
Yeah. The torpedo room.
Thank you.
And you know, even the engineer cracked under this. This guy has been on, I forgot how many.
10, 8, something like
he'd
that?
He's been on a lot. One of the very few that's.
Shot.
Yeah. I mean, he should have been a hero surviving that long.
Two iron crosses.
Yeah. But anyway.
Except for the fact he tried to open the hatch under.
You know, I did this as a random pick because this was a pretty random movie because I remember.
It is.
Yeah. And when I saw it originally, it was not in a theater. It was on VHS tapes.
Yeah, they...
Betamax, maybe.
They actually try to show this one at least 3 times during the high school career I went through. Mm.
See, they never actually showed that. I don't remember them talking about this movie when I was in, you know...
In a few of the TA classes, like study skills and things like that I was in that they did. But yeah, they at least showed on 3 separate occasions.
If we look at it as a teacher, why would you want to show this movie, and what was the reason behind it?
That's what I could not figure out.
I mean,
because the kids would rather be
there's
watching
so many better
this.
Better history channel war documentary things than wanting
I
to
think
watch
it was
this thing.
Just something that they had in the back room that they decided to pull out. Other than that, I can't think is. All I could really think of as far as like a teaching tool is this is why you don't want to be a Nazi in World War II. That's about it.
And in a submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's basically a movie where you're watching people kind of slowly go off the deep end.
Yeah.
While you're kind of doing the same thing along with them because it really drags along.
This
it
is like.
You didn't survive well with the timing that it had in the 80s with the pace.
Yeah, this is like. Space Odyssey, but under the sea.
Yeah. I would also say that the best thing it did is a couple of instances where it talked about the crew, like that one guy who got a French girl pregnant and what was going to happen to her.
She was going to be tortured and beat up.
There were a couple of really good instances where you really got to see the minds of the crew. You know, that was really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, again, it was a movie about these guys going through this crap. And again, I agree. I think it was maybe an hour and a half too long. You could have compressed it enough, give some thought. It was one of the things that it did do is it gives you a different image of command structure in a submarine versus surface ships. Because what they did in that submarine, as far as the sailors goes, would never be allowed on a surface ship.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah, they got to get involved with the captain a lot more than
you
would on a surface ship.
You know, and discipline in the whole situation. I mean, obviously, this particular captain was not highly disciplined as far as his troops go. Let's put it that way. And then the whole idea is that you have a better chance of dying than coming back home. Probably weighs pretty heavy on you from the moment you get into that
And I solidarity seems to be the way to get through it.
Yep.
And I think that was, I think that his troops or his men or whatever you call his people below him, they appreciated his kind of loose style, that anything went until the stuff hit the fan. You know, then if you didn't follow what he was telling you, he would kill you.
Yeah.
As he wanted to kill the
head engineer. I think there was really only one scene where he basically had to tell somebody, hey, I'm the captain.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was like, all right.
Well, I think he showed
I
think he showed it a couple of times, because there was he was telling people to remove stuff from like navigation desk. There's one where he's going to kill somebody.
There's a difference between giving orders, because he did that, but there was a scene in there where it was one particular person was talking like he was the captain. I can't remember the exact scene, but it was enough that the captain reminded him, saying, I'm the captain. And, you know.
Damn.
And so. I also love the scene when they got the triple coded message.
Yeah.
When everybody was like,
because they were going to go home. Yeah. They were ready to end their tour.
And they realized, oh, this is not going to be good.
This is not good. For captain's eyes only, you know that's never good.
And I wonder how long it took you to actually transcode that message or recode that message.
Depends on if they told you what book they encoded it with.
Little did they know. Unfortunately, a lot of men's lives are sacrificed on both sides, because the fact is, we did know what the Germans were doing. The British were smart enough to get an Enigma machine.
But, you know, all in all, it really comes down to the fact that I look at this movie and I get what the director was trying to prove and show, and I think he successfully did that. He accomplished what he wanted to do. But he could have done it in a more succinct fashion.
Absolutely.
A very more succinct fashion.
You know, I don't know if he could.
Three and a half hours?
Well, I actually
This is coming from the guy that was going like this.
Well, here,
hold on. That's what I did in high school. Every time they put it on, I fell asleep.
Well, you want to talk about that? You actually said we had to watch it in 2 days because you didn't want to watch that.
I couldn't do it.
But I actually think 2 hours for this movie
would have been. I watched it in a day.
I think 2 hours, the theatrical version, would have been enough to show. I think the 3 hours is a little ridiculous, but I actually think 2 hours would have been good.
Okay.
But I got to put it down like this. Is, you know, I have no sympathy for these fascist pigs. what I look at this movie is, was the acting okay? Yeah, the acting was actually really good.
Yeah, it was.
And the sets.
It was a little overacted.
There was parts, but that's kind of...
I can't say that. I've never been in a submarine and never want to be in a submarine during World War II, so I can't say that.
And I don't speak German, so I'm not sure how overacted it was or not by just their facial expressions.
And, you know, the set designs, the sets were very well put together.
I wonder if this was an actual set. Was it filmed on an actual, like, submarine? No, I'm really curious.
Okay, pretty much they blew their entire wad on making the submarines. There was two submarines, one for exterior that actually showed it moving, which was pretty much like a metal tube with an engine. The second one was actually built almost to scale, or I think it was to scale. For the interiors. And they didn't even cut holes in the sides of the submarine. That's why all the camera angles were so tight and everything was up close. If you were looking at a long shot, you can see he was looking through like a hat or something.
Can you imagine what it smelled like in there? Just in real life, man. Yeah. All those people and the cameramen and the lights and how hot it must have been. And,
so they kind of did what they did for their original movie, Aliens. They built the ship and they just filmed inside of it.
Did you notice what the sign for the shitter was?
I missed that one.
Are you guys? Oh, that should have been the question of the day. It was unbelievable. There was a little square light, and it showed an ass. It was a tattoo of an ass.
With a tattoo of an anchor on it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Nice.
So, I couldn't believe it.
So, Ryan, I'm dying to know, what do you give this movie?
This movie ages so terribly, and I'm trying to think, even at the time,
you gotta hold down.
If I've seen anything that dragged on like this, I really think they could have told this story in an hour and a half, maybe an hour 45.
Hour 15.
An hour and a half.
So what do you give it? I'm dying to know.
I gotta give it a two. I give them all the credit in the world for pretty much inventing the Steadicam on this movie. That was really cool.
What year was this movie?
81.
But, same year as Princess Diana and Chuck were married.
So hard to get through.
81.
So, James?
I gotta go with Ryan on this one. I give this one deuces. It's 81. Just, oof. And I told you the points that I did on acting and set. I mean, the story, they as far as I'm concerned, they went way overboard.
Rob?
Whatever.
He's gonna run. The reason I'm asking about the year it was made is because I was trying to run through what other movies were made in 82 to really think if this is a two or a three. And I think for the time, for 1982, there may have been some cutting edge stuff in this that we may easily overlook. I mean, I think there's some
I think the cam thing.
Cinematography situations with the close-ups, the cams, some of the early emotional or lack of emotional being, whatever it was, because you had both going on. You had the guys going crazy. You had the people that were in the zombie look. I think some of this might have been cutting edge for that year. So for that part, I'm going to go ahead and give it a three.
Wow. Okay, just to give you a quick list, Rob. E.T., yeah. Tootsie, Officer and a Gentleman, Rocky III, Porky's, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, 48 Hours, Poltergeist, and Annie. Those all came out in 82.
Yeah, it's my rest my case.
Yeah, I'll give that. But unfortunately, I think the cam things were actually done beforehand, honestly. I think some of the cam tricks were actually done before, but the Steadicam throughout a lot of the action things you don't see very much before, if at all.
Right.
A Steadicam really wasn't invented. He just came up with a really clever way, you know, like using three people and a couple of gyroscopes.
Okay.
I
got to give this movie a two.
Sure.
I'd be honest, I got to do a caveat. This may, reason why I give it the two, maybe because the fact I could only find the 3-hour version instead of the 2-hour version.
You're fired.
So with that caveat, you know, I give it a 2 out of 5. The sets, I have to admit, were amazing. Everything else just kind of fell.
Yeah, you know, I think all of us can agree it was not the best movie we've ever watched.
Yeah. So,
you know, so.
I missed the other previous week about Clerks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just going to bring that up. And for the record,
I apologize. We know you called.
Okay.
Now, you know that we had a problem with the phones.
Yeah, I did find that out.
And so we found out that the phone wasn't ringing in here, so we didn't know. I apologize for that.
I was going to say, for the record, I had that in my notes.
You could have phoned it in. I apologize, my fault. It will now work. Shouldn't one of us be absent and have to phone in the show?
Well, don't worry, he's going to phone it in right now.
So anyway, you know, for me, this movie is a generational movie. This one is for a specific generation.
Clerks, right.
You will not understand the little things about this movie outside of there. Because, I mean, Jay and Silent Bob are standing in front of this place all day.
Yeah, I know.
Why? There was nothing better to do. Well, why don't they play on their phones? They didn't have smartphones. These things weren't around. So for me, this movie speaks to me a lot because that's actually what I did quite a bit. When I was hanging out, there was a liquor store, a market, and a movie theater.
Yeah.
Or a movie store. Right next to each other. And I spent a lot of time there. Store,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, you know, for me, that's what sticks this movie in a generational movie. If you had asked me about 10 years ago, this one movie is a straight out 4 because of what it speaks to my generation. But now I look at it and I'm like, dude, people won't get it. People won't get this stuff. So now it's, you know, got to go to a strong 3. Yeah. But that's about it. And Ryan, for the...
What did we give?
You guys gave it mostly a 3.
I think we all gave it a 3,
I watched it, so I know what you guys said. But, you know, that's kind of where it is. And for the record, Ryan, Dogma was the one that made me a forever Kevin Smith fan.
Yeah, for sure.
But only one person ever would ever think of making George Carlin a Catholic bishop.
So we're gonna switch back. We're gonna be talking about this week's episode of Firefly, which was episode 2. And generally, what we do is, you know, we talk to a couple of things about it. So,
well, unfortunately, I noticed that you did not point out one thing first. Is we are not watching this in the order that Fox released it on the networks. You're right.
Excuse me,
because that's actually this episode that we're talking about. They released this episode first.
You're right. I'll be honest. I kind of forgot about how Fox kind of screwed it. I'll let James bring up the first point.
Okay. So, you know, this one, you know, I like this.
That's it.
I like this one because of the fact it shows that Malcolm Reynolds, right?
Yes.
Okay, so make sure I got it right. Is not afraid of anybody, and he doesn't really give a rat's ass about what's going on as long as his conscience is clear.
And I kind of like what what's her name, that companion brought out, is the fact she's known him for like 8 months, and she thinks she'll never really get to know him. Which I think was a really good mark on the fact that that character, the captain's, was a very deep character.
Yeah, and he is, but, you know, it's like there's just so much. I mean, I just love Adam Baldwin. I love Adam Baldwin in this one. Jane, for those of you that may not know.
He's hilarious.
I just love his character.
I love him being doped up. I was aiming for his head.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of fun in this show, and you guys got to pay attention to it. And just for you people that didn't notice it out there, if you ever watch Battlestar Galactica in the first episode, there is a Firefly.
There is.
And I love...
Time up.
There's an homage. Oh. Yeah, we're time up.
My favorite scene is at the end. I'm not going to spoil it, but it's great.
James is doing that.
That's okay with that. So,
hey, Facebook.
I want to remind everybody. Remind everybody we do have a Facebook page. Let us know. Is there a theme you'd like us to do or a movie? And please help donate to the cause and the Old Guy Tech TV website.
Please donate.
And so next is the movie news, and see if the old guy has any.
Movie news.
I do.
There's some theaters that you can walk out in front of and look at these posters. And it gives you movies that are coming up.
Oh, okay. That's
kind of
cool.
So, okay, so here's...
Isn't that neat? That's really old school.
Since the old guy didn't prepare, so the first one is the new...
Hey, I wasn't told.
What?
I'm here for the... I'm the comedy relief.
Wait, how long have you been a part of this show?
Oh, man, we're in trouble.
I'm just here for the comedy, man.
So here's this... So the first bit of news is one I was actually kind of pissed and sad by. The new Ghostbusters movie is a reboot with allegedly an all-female cast.
All women.
What?
Yep.
Like Charlie Angel style?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So nothing against, you know, the female actors, but I love the people who are in it. They were a big part of my childhood.
Who were they doing the female actors for?
You know, I didn't write them down. That was the one I actually have it edited.
Fail.
You're gonna have to look it up yourself.
Whatever.
I guess
they did
so.
Have that. They did have. Why my phone just
Ryan. We've lost Ryan here.
Well, they did the head. Would you guys stop pushing buttons? The head writer is from Heat. It's Katie Dippold.
I don't know of her.
Talking about the Sandra Bullock and what's
Dippold?
Her?
Yeah.
Who has that last name of Dippold?
I'm probably saying it wrong. I know I'm right. I know.
I know there are some weird last names, but that's...
Oh, wait. No, okay, that doesn't...
So happen. Already, so here's allegedly, and I'm... Nah, hold on. Oh, sorry, it doesn't tell. I thought it did. There's no...
But it's a Jenny
McCartney. So far, nobody's really, that I've seen, is really listed. It may have more, but that was an older...
Excuse me.
An older one, and the other... One is, I know, that I think is horrible, is that Jim Henson Company is working on a Labyrinth sequel.
Yeah, I did know that.
I...
Wait, are you talking to a horny ghost named Buster? That's in there.
I... You know, I think Jennifer Connelly was in this movie.
Is
a young girl that she's the best part of this movie. I saw this movie so much, I hate it with a passion.
I don't see anything
of a thousand burning suns.
I wasn't actually going to say that.
Well, that would have been the only time you hadn't said
that. I was going to say a thousand burning Nazis.
Mm, okay,
and Homage, the movie we're doing this week.
It's a good start.
So what do you think about the reboot of Ghostbusters? Anybody?
I think it's going to be crap.
I think it's going to be great.
You know,
I'd much rather look at attractive women.
I'll watch it, but...
I do think they have a problem.
Why can't you come up with new material? And why do you think doing a reboot with women is the way to go with this movie?
Well, but before we answer that question, I want to
hit a different audience.
I want to make sure everybody knows that's not the fact we're against women playing movies.
No,
it's about
no.
the fact that they're kind of remaking a movie that I know at least myself and James and Ryan really love.
John loves The Craft.
Whatever.
Naomi Campbell, Nev Campbell, whatever her name is.
The point is, back to where I'm constantly getting on Hollywood about the fact that they don't seem to be able to come up with original material.
Because they don't have any original material.
Are you saying, so that means the fact, that means...
money into it.
Well, all right. So, all right, if it comes down to money, and it comes down to that there is just no... We've done everything that can possibly ever be done.
Well, what you're not
another
seeing,
book can never be written. Well, another mystery can never be done.
What you're not seeing is now, like in the 80s, 70s, and 60s, and before, they didn't have the mediums. Now we have video games, we have television, we have the internet, and
so you're saying that because of everything else,
yeah,
and we get all the other stuff that all we can do is keep getting remakes in the theater.
Pretty much. Well, James, go first, since like apparently I got to play moderator.
So, pretty much Ryan hit on the nail is that they don't want to take a chance. So what they're doing is they're taking the things that they already know are sold, that people have already bought into. Themes, games.
Except my live-action Cowboy Bebop.
Different things.
I don't know, Reeves.
I get that
They
part.
Like that, and they don't want to take a chance. Right. And then there's only indie...
Yes.
Films
yes.
That are willing to take a chance. And even the Sundance Film Festival, if you take a look at that, I mean, they're mostly just ripping off things from Hollywood.
But a lot
You're
of
not
those
seeing
are art
very
house,
much stuff coming from
a
them.
A lot of those are like art house movies, you know?
Yeah. And some of them are pretty crappy.
This is why I think you've got so much content. You've got stuff like HBO. If you take a look what HBO's doing, they're beating the Alphabet Networks because, you know, you got that. You also have like The Walking Dead. You know, you have a lot of programs that are just... that are kind of knife in the
we
baby
have
when
better
it comes to
television
movies.
You yep. got it. We have better television now because the cable networks and the satellite networks are willing to take chances on some incredible television.
Yeah.
That you never saw
before.
The Strain.
I really like The Strain.
And the difference.
Oh, yeah.
And the difference
have you
is,
watched The Scorpion yet?
No, not yet.
You got to watch The
and
Scorpion.
I bet the difference is the fact we have a movie that costs $300 million. You've got a television series that may cost $10 million to make.
Right.
But
right.
but they'll be able to make up their costs as years go on.
Well, I think we hit on something here for a moment. And I just what I think I think what we've done is we're seeing that television, whatever you want to call it, satellite, cable, television, whatever, they're willing to risk money and step out of the bounds a little bit mm-hmm. and make good movies or miniseries or television shows where big Hollywood with the big mega bucks and the big stars is not.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even Netflix is coming out with their own original series.
Yes.
They have at least six out now.
And so does Amazon. And with that
we
note...
We watch Hell on Wheels?
And with that note, we're going to be talking about next week's movie, which is a theater pick, and we're going to do Equalizer with Denzel Washington. So, you know, make sure you see it. It's been out for a while.
John's all ready. He's got his tampons ready, too.
What? Ever.
Asshole. And then next, and after that, we're also doing Firefly Episode 3.
Nice.
And as always, we'll see you next week.
Loser.
Bye.